Brother Kyle continue with his thoughts, and I would be a blessing. John chapter 13 this evening, John 13. I have one verse to read, but we'll be looking at several. If you saw the bulletin, the title for the message, you saw that it is Jesus, Master. Perhaps I should have entitled the sermon tonight, Is Jesus Your Master? Is Jesus Your Master? In John chapter 13, verse 13, Ye call Me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Ye call Me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. In studying the various names of God for Sunday school, and in particular the various and wonderful ways that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of those names, I was struck by how many Greek words there were that were translated master. Have you ever looked at that before? How many Greek words there are that are translated in the New Testament master? And here's a word, master, that we rarely use. Our society even avoids the word master. Unless it's used sometimes as a verb. He mastered the violin. She mastered the piano. But we don't use that word master very, very much. But in New Testament times, this was not so. The word is found in one form or another nearly 100 times in our New Testament. Now, according to our text, Jesus claimed this title for Himself. I am Master. So, well, why do you ask? If He says He's Master, then why do you ask me if He's my Master? Well, it's the same principle as this. Is Jesus Lord or not? Yes, He is. Is He yours? This term, Master, was a title of respect, of reverence, of honor. Jesus is Master. Is He your Master? And so what I'd like for you to do is answer the question in your mind tonight. Check yes or no, but check it with a pencil, would you please? Check it with a pencil, because I'd like to ask you when we're done the same question. Let's look at the words, many of them anyway, that are used in the New Testament that are translated into the English, Master. In Matthew chapter 22, and I'll have a lot of scripture tonight. I'll just probably go quickly. There are a couple that I'd like for you to turn to, but I will list these scripture references for you. Matthew chapter 22, verse 16. And they sent unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that Thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of men. Here, the word Master is the Greek didaskalos. Didaskalos. Now, I don't expect that to mean anything to you. But I'm going to go ahead and give you the Greek words. But I want to tell you this evening that didaskalos means teacher. Means teacher. Jesus is Master. He is teacher. Master, they asked Him later in that same chapter, which is the greatest commandment in the law? In Luke 21, they ask Him, saying, Master, didaskalos, when shall these things be? Teach us. And what sign will there be when these things come to pass? Teach us. You are our teacher. When Jesus taught, it was with authority. He taught them as one having authority, Matthew 7, 29. And not as the scribes. When He taught, it was with astonishing wisdom. When He taught, He'd get men's attention. How many of you could say, remember those days when you grew up in church and you heard about Him? You heard about Jesus from a little child. You used to color it in Sunday school. But one day He spoke. One day He taught. Learn of Me. I am Jesus. When He speaks, when He teaches, this is our Master. He is Didaskalos. He is our teacher. When He speaks, He gets men's attention. He closed the book and He gave it to the minister and sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. When He taught, His words cut to the heart. By all indications, Jesus loved to teach. You ever thought about that? He loved to teach. I love to teach. Jesus taught on mountains. He taught in the synagogues. He taught on the seaside. He taught out of a boat. He taught near Jordan, and as He was wont to do, He taught them again. He taught in the temple. He taught in the streets of their cities. He taught in the desert places. And after 2,000 years, He's still teaching. He's still the Master. His doctrine is from above. His wisdom has changed the world. His words still get the attention of man. His message still reaches the hearts of the hearers. The wicked laugh at Christians, but the gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation. Power over the conscience, power to redeem, laughter turned into mourning as they see the sinfulness of their own sin. The atheists poke and prod and provoke, but His words come with power. Repent, believe, I am, and the vilest of sinners is made clean. The religionists bask in self-righteousness, thankful that they are not as others. As long as some church member is trying to do it himself, may the Master's words go forth with power. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the door. Why do you call Me Lord and do not the things which I say? Jesus Christ is Master. Jesus Christ is teacher. I'm glad He teaches. I'm glad He's our teacher. Who do you want to listen to? I would have to say that if the Lord Jesus would come, I would gladly give up my 9:45 spot. Why? Because no man ever spoke like this man. He's our teacher. Is Christ your teacher? Is He your Master? Are you listening to what He said? Do you do what He said? Why do you call Me Lord and do not the things which I say? Don't get your eraser out yet. And don't color in your answer in ink just yet. Listen, Master means teacher. The second word I would like to point out tonight is found in Matthew chapter 23, but I'd like for you to turn your books to Luke chapter 1, if you would. And while you're turning, I'll read Matthew 23, verse 8. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ. One is your Master, even Christ. In Luke chapter 1, look at verse 76. This is Zechariah, the son of the father of John the Baptist. He says of John, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. Now here is Zechariah waxing a bit prophetic here of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is Master. And this word, kathagates, in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus said, "One is your master," this word means he is our guide. Our guide. And so we have a teacher in our Lord Jesus, and we have a guide. Isn't that wonderful? That he's our guide to lead us. He leads the captive out of the prison, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. He guides the blind into the light. Quoting Isaiah 42, verse 16 says, "I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight." What a day that was when the Lord started straightening things out in our minds. Crooked things made straight. Guiding us. He is our master, our guide. "These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." In John 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life." Following him. He is our guide. Our master is our guide. He guides us in our journey. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. Teaches, but he guides. He guides us in our journey. Psalm 31 tells us he guides us for his name's sake. Psalm 32 says he guides us with his eyes. Psalm 48 says he guides us unto death. Our master. Jesus, master. Jesus, guide. He'll lead us to that rest for our souls. We've heard it already this morning. In fact, tonight I just feel like it's almost like part three. This morning we heard part one and two. The more that I listened this morning, I thought, well, tonight will just be part three. But that's okay. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." How do we find that? Follow him. He's our guide. He'll lead us all the way, too. All the way. Psalm 73, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Jesus, our master, our guide. Can't go wrong when you're following the guide. Can't make a misstep when you're following him. Well, we mess up, but it's not when we're following. We mess up when we take off on our own. But our master is our guide. And he'll guide us all the days of our lives. And then receive us to glory. I'm telling you, we don't have much to be sorry for. We've got a lot to rejoice about tonight. Now, thirdly, in Luke chapter 5, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Let's look at verse 4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon," he didn't, by the way, in verse 4, this is not a suggestion. "And Simon answering and said unto him, Master." Now, he's not teaching here. Jesus is not the master teacher here. And he's not even the master guide. What Jesus is in verse 5 of Luke 5 is, He is epistates. He is the authority. Jesus is our authority. Let down the net, He says. And then I like the response. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It makes you wonder if Jesus wasn't thinking, yes, you will let down the net. Why? Because I'm the master. I'm the authority. Is Jesus your authority? Now it gets a little close, does he? He is the authority. And as we go on, we'll see he's even more than that. But his authority is greater, as we see in the scriptures, than the vilest disease. In Luke 17, he entered into a certain village. As he entered, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master. Jesus, authority. Have mercy on us. What faith that they knew that this one could speak and the disease would be gone. He is authority. He is in charge. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Just like that. Yeah, just like that. How come? Because he's the authority. He's in charge. Jesus is our master. Is Jesus your master? Is Jesus in charge of you? Now, don't go off here on the sovereignty subject. In fact, sometimes I think we can go to seed on some of this. And really miss the truth. I'm asking you, dear child, dear professing Christian, is Jesus in charge? Is he the boss, with no disrespect intended, of your life? He has authority. He speaks, and the leprosy is gone. That was big. He speaks, and his authority is exercised over the raging sea. They came to him and awoke him in Luke 8:24, saying, Master, Master, authority, authority, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He rebuked the wind. Who does that? I tell you who does it. Jesus, Master. Jesus, authority. What manner of man is this? Is Jesus your authority? Could you honestly say, don't get your eraser out just yet, but can you honestly say that he is in charge of your life? He had authority. Greater than the vilest disease. Authority over the raging sea. And as we saw in our first verse in Luke 5, he had authority over his own. Let down your net. Do you find yourself questioning the Lord? Does that seem ridiculous? The thought? Have you felt like the Lord has spoken to you through his word and you've been seeking his will and you get the direction? And what happens? We tend to question. Master, we've toiled all night. I know what you're saying, but we've toiled all night. And the proper response is just like Peter's. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. Maybe you're struggling tonight with what to do. How many times have we said, I just don't know what to do? May I strongly suggest that you submit to the authority of the Master. Do what He says. Do what His Word says. Do right. Epistates. He is the authority. But that's not all. If you will, flip over here to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, this may sound like a distinction without a difference, but there are two different words here. And I hope that we can see that there is a difference. Epistates is authority. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, in a great house there are only vessels of, not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, you may have a different version this evening. I know the New King James Version, Josh, has that word Master capitalized, does it not? The Master's use. Now, I know the ESV, Jeremy, does not have the word Master, and that's because this is a general statement. You're going to be meet for the Master's use. But the New King James people said, yes, it is general, but who else could it be talking about? Our Master is none other than Christ Himself. And here, now get this, here the word for Master is the Greek word despotes. Despotes. Despot. What does that mean? Are we getting a little uncomfortable? We're talking about Jesus, our Master. The word is despotes. D-E-S-P-O-T. And a despot is an absolute ruler. Well, I thought you just said that. He's the authority. There's a difference. His word is final. Absolute. And you see His work in His people in these verses. As absolute ruler, if we are going to be meet, suitable, appropriate, made ready for His use, He says, purge yourself from what is dishonorable. That is, separated from what is vile. He is our refiner, this despot that is our Master. He is the absolute ruler, and He refines us. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. If a man purge himself from these, he is our refiner, but our part as His subjects, we have that part too, to separate ourselves. Having therefore these promises, Paul tells the Corinthians, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A vessel unto honor, he says in verse 21, there in 2 Timothy. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Trials of our faith Peter speaks of. He says they're more precious than gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here is the work of the Master on the vessels. Purging. Refining. Making us vessels unto honor. Setting us apart. Making us meet for the Master's use. That is, profitable in His service. Is Jesus your Master? Is He your absolute ruler? You are the clay. He is the potter. As you grow in grace, those of you who are young, well, all of us really, but those of you that are young in the faith, as we grow up into Christ, what the Lord has a tendency to do is, as you grow, put His finger on something in your life that you're doing, that you possess, that you think, that you love, and He says, I want that. I want that. Getting kind of quiet. Those of you that have been saved a while, you know it's true. I want that. He spoke that to me, I felt like, in my life, early in my marriage. David, He spoke that to my heart. I felt, I want that. I'm first. When my children were young, He spoke that to my heart. I felt, I want that. I'm first. I'm first. Who am I describing? I'm describing a despot. I'm describing our Master, our absolute ruler. Now listen, no lost person is going to be comfortable with that. And not every saved person. But that's who He is. Is Jesus your Master? The fifth thing, and I'm hurrying, is the word Rabbi or Rabbi. Rabbi. Now, when Jesus was referred to as Master, that is Rabbi, this dealt more with the man himself. The term rabbi was a title of respect and honor to the man. All right? Our Master, the Lord Jesus, is our great one. He is worthy of honor. Mark 9, Peter answered and said it to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Now, Peter gets slammed a little bit for this because Jesus didn't even acknowledge these words. But listen again. This is when they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And I always kind of make fun of that and say, well, he's definitely a Baptist because first thing he wants to do is start a building project. Jesus didn't even acknowledge. He didn't even know what to say, it says in the Scripture. But listen, can you hear the honor that's coming out of the lips of Peter? Rabbi. And he puts him on the pedestal with Moses and Elias. Let's make a tabernacle. Why? Because you deserve honor. Our Master is our Rabbi. He is the great one. He is worthy of honor. He is worthy of recognition. Nathanael said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And the point I would like to bring out in this tonight is that Jesus is our teacher. And His doctrine is from the Father in heaven. He says so. He's the great teacher. But we don't worship doctrine. His words are sweet like honeycomb. But our longing should be for Him. For Him. His works are mighty. But our relationship is not with His works. Our relationship is with Him. He is the Great One. He is the Master. He is our Rabbi. Is Jesus your Master? Do you love Him? Well, I can tell you about the doctrines of grace. Do you love Him? I can explain to you the secrets of the Old and New Testament and the prophets in between. Do you love Him? I'm here every service, Russ. Do you love Him? He's worthy. He is the Great One. Now, here's another word. Number 6. John 20, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni. Rabboni. Or Rabboni. Rabboni, the Greek word. Which is to say, Master. Now, according to Albert Barnes, here was the steps. If they call you Rab, that meant honor. If they called you Rabbi, that meant more honor. But if they called you Rabboni, that meant top honor. Top honor. You see, when Jesus is my Master, my Rabboni, He is above all other things. Here's something that the Lord will do for you. He will make you weird. Say, well, Brother Russ, you must be growing in grace. Because, now listen, I'm talking about from the world's perspective. The Lord will make you strange. Because the things of earth grow strangely dim. As you turn your eyes upon Him, He becomes your Rabboni. He becomes more important than any thing. He becomes more special and precious to you than any person down here. When He is my Rabboni, He's above all other people. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is Jesus your Master? You love Him above all else. Can you, as Paul, say, I've suffered the loss of all things, but that's okay? Why? Because I want to know Him. When He is our Rabboni, He's on our minds. We don't start thinking about the Lord at 9:45 on Sunday morning. When He is our Rabboni, He occupies our time. We love it when He seems close and we hate it when He seems far away. We thrill when we sing His praises and cringe when we hear His name blasphemed. We are sad when we've sinned against Him and rejoice when He cleanses us from our sins. Is He your Master? Your Rabboni? Is there anything above him in your life? Is there anyone above him in your life? And then the last one. And we find that in Colossians 4. And this one, perhaps, is the most hard-hitting and the most important, perhaps. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing ye also have a master in heaven. And this word is one we looked at last week in Sunday school, kurios, translated Lord, translated master, literally means owner. He is our owner. And so what is the basis for the master to own us? The basis for the master's rights. Well, Paul tells the Corinthians that he has bought us with a price. Paul tells the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he has purchased us with his own blood. He has redeemed us, being made a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. He has obtained eternal redemption for us, having entered in once into the holy place by his own blood. He bought us. He owns us. Well, I'm not comfortable with that, Brother Russ. Boy, I am. I am. My dear friend, Randy Pike, missionary for so many years, used to always sign his letters, his happy slave. I'm quite comfortable with that. I belong to him. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he redeemed us with his precious blood, Peter says. 1 Peter 1:18. That's the basis for the master's rights. Well, I'm my own person. Oh, don't die with that kind of profession. I'll do things. I'll do it my way. No, he's our master. We're his servants. He owns us. What is the servant's proper response? We should glorify him. Glorify him. In our bodies, you know what we're told? Glorify the Lord in your body. You're bought with a price. We present our bodies to him. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what kind of service? A reasonable service. We magnify him in our bodies. Paul tells the Philippians, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. That's the servant's proper response to the master. I'm going to glorify him in my body. I'm reminded of that servant. Lean that ear up against the door, and the awl goes through. He says, I will not go free. I love my master. We should glorify him in our bodies. We should glorify him in our spirits. We should serve only him. You're bought with a price. Be not servants of men. We should show forth his praises. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. There's the response of the servant, showing forth his praise. Jesus is master. He is teacher. He is guide. He is authority. He is absolute ruler. He is Rabbi. He is Rabboni. He is owner. Owner. Is he your master? What would I tell a newly born again Christian? What would I say? Lots of things come to my mind. How about this? You're his. You belong to him. And after being saved for 34 years, I can gladly say there's no place I'd rather be than in him, under his care, under his authority, under his ownership. So, is he your master? Are you learning from the teacher? Are his words precious to you? Are you following the master, that guide? What are your plans? Have you asked your guide, your shepherd, your master? Okay, who's in charge? Who is the chief authority in your life? Are you comfortable with his being your despot, your absolute ruler? When he's the absolute ruler, obedience is immediate, unquestioned, and joyful. Do you honor him with your thoughts, your actions, your words? How much of what we do and think is to be to his glory? How much? From Corinthians. Whatsoever you do. Whatever you do. Whatever you think. Whatever you eat. Whatever you drink. All to the glory of God. I honor him. I give him respect, you say. But is there another to whom you give more honor? More time? More thought? More love? Is he your Rabboni? Is he your life? Does he own you? Are you happy being a slave? I am. May he get all the glory from our lives. May he be glorified in our bodies and in our spirits. We are bought with a price. Amen. I'd like to sing tonight Psalm 72. Psalm 72.